another episode of the God is a Geek podcast. Yet another intimate podcast. We'll get back to groups, but we struggle because we don't really like each other, so it's hard to kind of get two people on. More than two people at the minute. It's terrible, you know. We're divided. But me and Gary are back again for a second week in a row to blow your minds with some game chat. Gary, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. I'm hoping people aren't sick of our voices. I'm sure they're not. We've got beautiful liquid tones.
We've got some delicious voices. Delicious. And we're gonna talk about two games this week. Again, we're in a period where it by no way is it really quiet, but not everyone's been reviewing. The review I'm currently on is embargoed till tomorrow, so I can't talk about that. But what we can talk about is Sekiro, which is out now, and I have played some of that. Obviously, I went to the preview, you've read the preview, you've seen the footage. Going back to it now, where I'm at my own leisurely pace, if you can play a game like that at a leisurely pace, because it's just off the bat, it's brutal. Like I've not known anything like it. Like for me and the Dark Souls games, I'm terrible. Like more so than people that are good at it that tell you they're terrible. Like it's it's embarrassing. So at the preview, I'm not sure if I said it on the pod, but like I was going through it and I was struggling with this one bit, and I'd been on it for about an hour, and it was going to a point where I was like thinking, shit, I'm not going to get any footage other than this fucking fight, and I've died about a million times. It's going to look rubbish. And then one of the guys from Activision came over and was like, do you want us to fast forward a bit for you? I was like, yes, please. So it looked like I've played loads, but in actual fact, it was because I was that shit. We had to move it forward a bit. But
if it makes you feel any better, when I initially played Dark Souls 2 at an event, I was terrible. Like I was... Because it was a public event thing, so I was just like queuing. The queue went around the screens. So I was watching others do, you know, some people who were like flying through no problem. There was me, finally got sat down to play it, and I struggled to get anywhere. I was getting my ass handed to me, left, right, and centre. So, yeah.
I mean, it's a talent. Like, it really is. Like when you watch people on YouTube play it and play it efficiently, like it's like watching Leonardo da Vinci paint the Mona Lisa.
It's crazy because I mean,
yeah, it's incredible.
Like I obviously played a bit of Dark Souls 3 on stream, and it's like everyone could see I'm not exactly great at it. I have my moments, but I'm very much like the sort of, I suppose, a mid tier player sort of thing. Yes. Whereas like, yeah, you watch some of these people that, I mean, to be fair, they sit and play, they've probably put like thousands of hours into the first Dark Souls, and they, you know, they can parry every single thing, they can go through it without getting hit, they just put mods on for fun just to make it harder just for a laugh, and it's just like those kind of people. I respect them, but I also hate them, just, you know, just in that general way, as you always,
in equal measure.
You can't help but hate someone who's a little bit, or a lot in this case, like more talented than you. It's just natural.
It's not jealousy at all.
No, not at all. Not no, even a little
we
bit
we just hate them. But like with Sekiro, right, so it's a FromSoft game, it's difficult, we know that, but I feel like, and obviously there's going to be people listening to this that have played more than I have and are just naturally better at this kind of game than I am, so they're probably just like thinking, oh, shut up. But there's one part near the start where you kind of fight your first, I would say it's a mid-level boss, it's no way near one of the other bosses that I've seen people play on like YouTube and stuff, but there's this guy, and he's a big bloke, and he likes to throw, like, he's like a wrestler, because he throws like elbow drops and he picks you up and pile drives you and stuff like that. And to be fair, the best way to kind of tackle him is just literally to kind of let loose on him and just use your sword, use your, because at that point I think you've only got the shurikens, so I mean they do very little damage, but that's your kind of what you've got at that point. And you know, you can see him, he's about to do, he does this like triple kick thing, you can see that coming, so you can read that and dodge out of the way. He does the elbow drop, he dives into the air and jumps on you, that's kind of fine. And you can use like your grappling hook to escape if he's coming towards you and the kind of green light, the green icon is appearing, you can tap the L2 and it'll take you away. So you've got a brief kind of respite from his attacks. But there's one move which it's the most frustrating thing, and he kind of when they do like a powerful move that either knocks your block so that when, you know, it kind of knocks you off guard and you can't carry on blocking, or it just completely misses that and just completely wipes you out. He does this is like icon appears, like this Japanese symbol, so you know that it's coming. However, if you see the symbol come up and you can see what position it's in, you know it's coming, but it's so difficult to move out of the way of it. He runs at you, jumps on top of you, and just pounds you into the ground, and it wipes off the whole of your health bar at that point. Ooh. to the point where there's millimeters of like red left, which if you've got like if you've got like a health gourd, which is basically the Estus flasks, then that'll give you a bit of health. And the things called pebbles, which rejuvenate your health gradually, but only like quarter of your bar. So, you know, if you've got them and he does that, fair enough. But, you know, when you're at a point of battle where you've nearly taken him out and he does that and you're dead, and it's the most frustrating. And I know Dark Souls is frustrating, and I know you're supposed to learn from it, but this one move just seems completely unnecessary, and it seems like overpowering even. Like, the whole point of FromSoft games is that you learn, and you learn about patience, and you learn about movement, and it's kind of like the art of the battle. And, you know, sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes your anger gets the better of you and you let your emotions in and you make mistakes. But, like, you can be as patient as you want with this one guy, and if he gets this move in, it's so frustrating. And there is, like, the resurrection where you can press, I think, it's RB when you die. And if you've rested at one of the bonfires, sculptor idols, you rejuvenate that, and you get a resurrection back. But even then, it only resurrects half of your health, and then you die again. And like, it might just be me. I know, like, Adam Carroll's been playing it, and he likes it a lot. I know Adam Cook, who is a much better Souls gamer than I am, is struggling with it as well. So it's very mixed at the minute. But then, obviously, all the reviews came out saying how fantastic it is and how it's one of the best and how they've reinvigorated their mechanics and all this. Like, so perhaps it's a small amount of people that feel this way. I don't know. But I know mixed reviews about to go live or will be up, obviously, when this goes live. So that'll be interesting to see, because Mix are avid kind of Souls gamer and Bloodborne. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But, I mean, it's hard. It's frustrating. However, there are it's a gorgeous looking game, and the fluidity of your movement when you're using the grappling hook is excellent. Like, you can chain together 3-4 jumps if you want. So you see a tree branch above you, in the green icon indicates you can connect to it. You press your L2 halfway up in the air. If another one appears, you can press L2. You move, so you can move very sharpish, and it's a lot better.
Sounds very Spider-Man.
It is to a point, because the movement is very seamless.
Yeah.
And it does help you a lot when you are in a tough spot in the battle. But as far as I'm aware at the minute, I can't attack in motion. Like, so it's like this one mid boss that I was fighting is tricky, because the everything's kind of above you, but to the right back to the back of the kind of battle area, so it's hard to kind of get above him and then attack him. But that you can attach your grappling hook to his back, which is kind of good. So if like he's just jumped past you and you've managed to avoid it, well played. You can press the grappling hook and it'll connect to him, and then you can get some hits in. But it's like, it's good. I'm not shitting on it by any means, but like these kind of games, I always love the idea of it. It's just probably not for me, and I have to accept that. And it's a shame, because like Bloodborne, I got on really well with. Like, I know we have different feelings on that, but like for me, I got on with that, and I really liked that, and I liked everything about it, from the weapons to the bosses, and that feeling of elation I've never had before with any game. Like when I took down the Cleric Beast for the first time, like that was insane. Like that feeling was amazing, and I continue to feel that way. Whereas Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3, Sekiro, I just can't, and I think I'm just gonna have to accept it. I'm not gonna give up on it by any means, because I don't want to give up at this point. Like, fuck, I'm like an hour in. Oh, that's shit, really.
Probably about like 5% of the game. You're
exactly. Yeah, I can't judge it on this one boss, because like because at the preview, like as I say, I skipped forward a bit, and there was a lot of different enemy types who weren't as difficult as this guy. I mean, they were still hard, but
yeah,
you kind of there was an area where there's a lot of trees, and you're in like this forest, and there are kind of branches above them, and you can use like your stealth to take them down. So, you know, there are the environments are a lot different later on. So,
yeah,
I will give it more time. It's just like if I go back and I die first time, that's when it triggers off this anger. So it's best not. I just want to kind of go into it and beat him first time and then carry on. But yeah, I'm not gonna give up.
No, I was kind of a similar way with Bloodborne. You know, like when I first played it, I think because I was coming off this like Dark Souls 1 and 2, and like they're a lot more slower pace compared to Bloodborne and Bloodborne.
They are, yeah.
Although it plays more or less the same, there's just a few things that just change it up a bit, and I think that's where I struggled. And some of the bosses felt a little bit like unfair at times. The way they moved, they could hit you with that, you know, like sort of split second.
Yeah.
And it was like it bothered me, but when I went back, I mean, all jokes aside, the whole thing of me hating Bloodborne, I did enjoy it eventually when I went back and streamed, like playing through it all. I was like, I really enjoyed it. Not enough to bother with the DLC, partly because I'd have to go in New Game Plus or play it all through again, and I can't be bothered with that. And partly because I've actually watched like the DLC played, and I'm like, I don't even want to think about fighting a couple of those bosses.
the bastard are they are, yeah.
But it seems the same sort of thing, so maybe you'll have that, you'll come back to Sekiro and really enjoy it. And I do want to play it at some point, but some of the things, like I've watched a little bit of it played myself, and like listening to what you've said and what others have said, I don't think this is for me right now. Like, I think I need a break from those kind of games in general.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yeah.
But it's one like I would like to play it eventually, even just to see what it's like, you know, why it's got so much fuss surrounding it. But
that's
probably in a couple of months when it's a bit cheaper or something. Or
exactly, you know, yeah, absolutely.
We'll see.
But I mean, like you say, you don't really want to play this sort of game now. I completely get that, and one of the games you have been playing, which is I'm really excited to hear more about, is Generation Zero.
Nice segue.
Yeah, well, thank you. I thought this was PC only, and then when you submitted your review, I noticed it was for consoles as well. Like, I've never heard of this game before, and you've basically described something in this review that ideal for me. For some reason, like games in the 80s, I know there's not many of them. It's not like there's like a genre of 80s style video games, but that's kind of the era we grew up in. Like, yeah. So things like Crossing Souls, even The Occupation, and like stuff like that, there's a good feel to it, and it's very nostalgic. So but forget about them for now. I want to talk about Generation Zero. So for those that haven't heard of it like me, what is it essentially?
Well, that's it. I mean, like when I first heard of it, it was a little while ago, I just saw like brief video of it, and I thought it was like Left 4 Dead. It looked that kind of way out, because it's like a co-op shooter, and it's like, oh, cool. But it's not. It's a big open world, like RPG shooter hybrid.
God, that just sounds perfect.
And it's got like you kind of drop in, drop out multiplayer as well, which you can turn off if you want.
A bit like Far Cry, is it? Where you can kind of drop into that.
Yeah, sort of, but there's no tether like there is in Far Cry, cool. Sorry.
That's cool. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Because, I mean, I was playing the other night and some dude just appeared in my game and was like, hi, came running across. He was like, I mean, he tells you how far away they are from you, and he was like a few miles away, and he eventually made it over. could have been a she, I don't know. The name was quite ambiguous, as I recall. but either way, and we just ended up mooching around for a while, taking out a few enemies. Saw like one of the big dudes, which you just like, oh, they're horrible. It's like,
yeah,
if you ever watched iRobot,
yes,
you know that big thing that demolishes the house when he's in it.
Yes, yeah,
it's like that sort of size.
Oh, yes, and I've seen it. I think.
Yeah, I think it might even be on like the cover of the game or something like that. But
I think it's on the cover. Yeah, when I was looking for screenshots, I saw some pictures of it. Yeah,
yeah, and it's like, but there's other. You start off essentially, because I've kind of got off on a tangent there. You start off, you're like on an island. It's in Sweden, and during the 80s, but it's obviously it's an alternate 80s because there's nobody around. There's no people left, or rather, there's no sign of people. There's just sort of clues here and there that they might be at certain places. So you're essentially trying to find other humans and trying to find out what happened. But
yeah,
while you're in that, you'll find these machines. Initially, it's like these kind of like dog-like machines, and they've got a machine gun on the back and stuff like that. And all you've got to do is you've just got to loot for look for weapons and like health and stuff like that. Just anything to help keep you alive. And you, because it's like in the middle of like rural Sweden, you've only really like rusty handguns and hunting rifles that have been left behind, that kind of thing. And
oh wow, that sounds awesome.
It's really, because like I like the idea, I've always liked the idea of survival, like open world survival games, but the thing that puts me off most of them is that whole thing of you've got to eat and drink, you know. So you basically you're monitoring these little bars all the time, and it becomes tedious, whereas this, it's literally just about the survival, in the fact that you've just got to not die by being shot apart or whatever, you know. There's no having to feed yourself, it's literally just don't let your health get to zero from attacks.
I think they're so frustrating, them kind of games, because like, have you ever played The Long Dark?
No, I've know of it, but I've not played it.
Yeah, so that's an amazing video game, damaged by the fact that you have to eat and you have to drink.
But yeah,
there are times where it's very like, I won't say it's exciting because you're gonna die, but like the world that they've created sounds similar in the fact that it's like somewhere very rural, you know, in the in the woods, and you know, there's a lot of like the mountain range, and you're completely left alone, whereas there's no combat. But like or Metal Gear Survive, which was but the survival elements of that were terrible, and it would have been a much better game if they kind of let up a bit with it, because it's too constant.
Yeah.
So the fact that a survival game that allows you to feel like you're surviving but takes away that's the kind of survival game that I would love to play.
Yeah, precisely. That was what, like, I mean, it was already a surprise anyway, because it wasn't the game I expected it to be, but that was kind of the extra nice surprise of going, oh cool, I'm not having to do it. I'm literally just it, like the way I saw it, and I said this in the review as well, that it reminded me a bit of stuff like PUBG, which I've also been playing a lot lately.
Yes.
Because it is just, it's the same idea of, you know, you're looting just for your weapons and your medical supplies, that kind of thing. And that's it. You know, the only danger to your health is, well, not other people like it's in PUBG, but it's weaponry essentially from enemies. And that is I think that's the best way of doing it. There are games, like you say, where it works, you know, and it's kind of an integral part. But when it's stuff like this, where it's essentially a shooter RPG, I guess, this time, it'd be out of place. It'd just be unnecessary. It'd be like adding, I know you can do it via mods, but it'd be like adding that kind of thing to Skyrim. You know, you have to make sure you eat and you drink and stuff like
that.
And
ruin it.
Yeah, some people love it. I know they do. Some people love that kind of mod for it. But for me, it's just a no. It puts me right off.
Yeah.
But this.
But in reality, like when, like if you are playing a game like this, Generation Zero, it's kind of, I assume it's relatively more or less in real time. Now like, there may be cutscenes or whatever, but you wouldn't eat that much anyway.
No. So
it seems unnecessary. And like going back to Metal Gear Survive, like it used to go down ridiculously fast, and you'd be all right, fat bastard, if you ate the amount of food that he does in that game. So. Yeah, just we don't need it. Anyway, sorry.
No. Yeah, I mean this game though, it really did take me by surprise, and it was just that thing. Some people won't like the pace because you do walk around quite slow. You can only sprint for so much at a time, cause once you've leveled up, you can, like, one of the perks that you can do is increasing your stamina and things like that. But
yeah.
There's no vehicles. There's ones at the side of the road that you can open up and loot, but you can't drive them or anything. So the only kind of speedy movement is once you've unlocked safe houses, you can then fast travel to those, which, you know, that's fair enough. But I think people might be put off by the speed. But once you get into a fight, it's ridiculously good. Like, the AI is spectacular. Sound is a big part of it because it's all about stealth, and the machines can hear you. I mean, like running around, you know, the little, when you're getting shot in Far Cry, you get that little indicator, don't you, telling the direction. And
yes.
Same, yeah. Like when they can see you, or when they're in the process of seeing you, you've got the little white dot that kind of spreads out.
Yeah.
It's like that in this, and it'll turn yellow if they've spotted you, but they're not fully onto you, you know, so they're investigating.
Yeah.
And then if they spot you, then it turns red and all hell breaks loose. But, I mean, it's really cool when, like, at one point I had a nice hunting rifle with a silencer on it, a good scope, and I'd got a perk where basically if you hit the right spot on these little dog-like machines, it'd be a one-hit kill. Mm. And it was awesome. They just explode.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's cool. So there are times where it's like, okay, I know there's enemies over there. I'll take them out from afar. And I'd do that. You'd shoot one, they'd explode, and there's obviously more would appear. Sometimes there'd be ones that you didn't see, and that's when you shit yourself because there's like four or five of them appear out of nowhere. But they come across and they kind of look, you know, oh shit, what's happened here? And then it'll turn yellow because they're like, hang on, there's a, you know, the trajectory is coming from that angle, and they'll start making their way slowly towards you. And if there's a pack of them, they will spread out, and you know they'll use cover and they'll flank you. And oh, it's so good when you get into a proper fight as well. Like especially before you get like a silencer and you're kind of having to shoot with loud weapons, they will come after you a lot.
Jesus, man! Like you're explaining like the perfect game. Like this sounds ace. Are there vehicles?
No, yeah, I say it's
so how big is the map?
It's pretty big. I'm trying to think of like anything I compare it to, cause, I mean, I was about 10 hours in, 8 hours in, sorry, before I left like the first chunk of the island. And that was probably about a third of the size of the entire, no, a quarter of the size actually. Of the entire map.
Wow.
It's huge, but there's little settlements here, there, and everywhere, and there's buildings that you'll come across, and like you get quests and stuff like that. So it's kind of, because there's not like traditional NPCs, it's like you'll go into a house and there'll be an answering machine message, and it'll be like, you know, oh, where are you? You know, we're at such and such location. You know, like if you get this message, come find us, and you can go there and, you know, there's no one there, but there's more clues as to where they've been moved from there and stuff like that. So you're always kind of moving around, and you can find stuff in the world where it's like, oh, there's, you know, this person's shack. Like one of the first ones I found was a hunter's shack, or rather you found like some of his belongings. It's like, oh, his shack must be nearby. So you can go off and find that to look for other weapons. And it's basic in that respect, but it's more about just the exploration and the survival, which I just found just like intoxicating. You know, I still want to play it. You know, I will continue to play it. I'm happily going to keep playing. And when other people join, it can be quite fun. And especially when you kind of, because you don't have to use your voice chat. There's just a text chat on the PC version that I played.
Yeah, of course.
Not sure how it work on the console. Hopefully it'd be something similar at least. But I mean, you can easily use voice chat if you want. But you've also got emotes if you fancy it. Most of them are dancing, because why not?
Yeah, I'm an emote kind of guy. I don't want to chat to strangers. I want to dance for them.
It looks even funnier when you're dressed in 80s clothing. That's one of the cool things is like when you first start, you select your character, and rather than having like a really in-depth, I suppose, like Souls-like character creation, you've got your, not exactly classes, but there's the rebel, which is the one I chose, which is kind of like all in denim with a mullet and everything, the aviators, but you've got like punks and just like sort of bald but with a big mohawk, and you know, it's very, very much an 80s aesthetic, and when you start dancing around with that kind of look, it just makes it even funnier.
Oh man, this sounds amazing. But I mean,
because we spoke last week, didn't we, about like the nicest surprises and stuff like that of the year. Now I have to add this to the list, because this is it's the nicest surprise of the year for me. It's one that the only reason I gave it an 8 as opposed to a 9 or above was just because it's got a few issues. Like during fights, there were times where the enemies had clipped through walls, so they could basically shoot me through a wall. It didn't happen often, but it was enough to be like, okay, there's an issue here.
You got to be critical sometimes, aren't you?
That's it. It's like, and like I say, the movement speed will put people off. Because there were times, because there was a point, it's fixed now, but there was a point pre-release when I was playing it that it started to crash at random. And I think it might be because I should mention this, we haven't yet. It's made by Avalanche, and it's the same engine that they use for Just Cause 4, which also had similar issues pre-release as well on the PC.
Mm.
So I wonder if it's just something to do with that engine was just having a...
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah,
but it's not happened since, because they released a patch just before it came out, which was today as we're recording.
Yes.
And so they released the patch, which it's not happened since then, so they must have found it and sorted it. But there's just a few little things like that which you have to take into consideration with these things. But it's kind of, using my head, it's an 8 out of 10. Using my heart, it's at least a 9. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Like, if it's purely for myself kind of thing, then I'd be a little less critical because I'd be more forgiving of the flaws, but obviously I can't be that forgiving when it comes to a review.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Very good game.
Yeah. well, that's kind of it for this week in terms of games we've reviewed and stuff. There'll be more next week. But we're going to list the correspondence now. First question from Mark Duncliffe, at Duncliffe, on Twitter. Is there any game you've reviewed in the last year or two that you now look back on and wonder how you gave it that score? It could be that you'd scored it much higher or lower now, either way. Good question.
Very good question.
I think the nature of reviewing games is... It can be very difficult, because if you're reviewing a game from a franchise you love, it's hard to take the blinkers off.
Yep.
But then it's also difficult to review games that... Like, if I reviewed Sekiro, which I couldn't, because I wouldn't be able to review it critically. Well, I would, but it'd be tough because I'd be so shit at it. And I also would get nowhere near the first quarter of the game. So I think I can't think of any particular game. There will be, like, I'd probably rescore half the reviews I've ever written, just because as you review more and you play more, you know exactly what you're doing and where to look and stuff like that, and you become less forgiving. Like, but specifically, unless I think of something, I can't. There's not one particular game right now. I think all the games that I've given 10s to are still 10s.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they were given 10s. There's not been a lot, but I think there's been about 6 maybe in the games I reviewed, but there'll be something that I'll think of like after the pod and be like, oh yeah, I should have been that fucking 7. It was shit.
You do get that though. I mean, like I think I mentioned last week when we were talking about the DC question, no, sorry, the Marvel question we had last week, the Injustice one.
Yeah.
For me personally, I don't know if it was in the last year, I can't remember, but the Marvel versus Capcom one, I would probably give that a slightly lower score now looking back.
Yes.
But it's the benefit of hindsight, isn't it? Because when you're playing it, you're seeing the good things and stuff like that. And then it's only over time you might think of it and go, hang on, I've not been back to that, or I have been back to it and I don't see those good things anymore, or I see less of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like another one for me would be like The Surge. I think I'd give that a lower score. It's like I say, it's one of those things that I think it's a really interesting topic, especially because you think of how games develop over time now. You know, something like Sea of Thieves is probably one of the best examples. It's one of those, it's a brilliant 7 out of 10. It was a brilliant 7 out of 10. Now, it could probably be an 8 or a 9 because the stuff that they've added has really improved the game. But I mean, yeah, it's a lot of it is the type of game as well. With so many games being online, they do change over time. I think like Division 2 is one that, like, I mean, people are loving. Mick loved it. You know, his review is brilliant. Obviously, you should all go and read that.
Really is.
I was going to say once you've listened to this, but you know, nature of podcast, you can read it while listening.
Why not?
But that's the thing, you know, he loved it, but for all we know, 6 months' time, it could be even better. He could love it even more once they've added more content. And it's like, it's just one of those things that the games do change, and I kind of like that part. I mean,
yeah,
in some respects, anyway. Others, it's like, oh no, you've changed something that didn't need changing, you know, that kind of thing. But most of the time, the improvements are genuinely that. They do improve the game. And yeah, I mean...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, like I say, hindsight is a benefit, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you say games are changing, and we can't review the same game every year or every 6 months, you know. When a game comes out, there probably are bugs because we often get it before release date. So it's like, we include that, or do we not include that? Really, we should include it because it's been given to us like that. So unless stated, because sometimes they state and whatnot.
They do,
but
yeah.
Most cases, you review what you're given. And like another issue with that is when you get like a huge game, like an open world game that has... Yep. Hundreds of side quests and tons of stuff to do, and you're trying to blast through the main story, you're not always getting to do everything more than 2 or 3 times. So, you know, when you, like, with Red Dead Redemption, for example, like, I reviewed that and I had to blitz through that storyline.
I don't envy you having to review that, to be honest, the size of that game.
I mean, it's mental, and, like, I was getting up early to do it, A, because it needed doing, but B, because I was in love with it. Like, but now, looking back, there are, like, playing all the other side stuff, I would knock it down to maybe a 9.5 just for a few issues I've got with it. But again, you say, you know, hindsight.
Yeah.
But that's just one of the ways. But, I mean, it's fucking great that we get to play these games and review them. To be honest, like, it's a good burden to bear.
It really is.
Yeah. Next question, Thomas. Tom, I'm going to upset you, but I'll read his question. How many of you are picking up Yoshi's Crafted World? If not all of you, a strongly worded letter will follow. get typing, Tom, because I won't be playing it. And simply because... I have no joy in my heart.
Oh,
I want to play games with guns and blood. And no, I think these kind of games just don't appeal to me. And when I say these kind, I don't mean cutesy games. I think I love a lot of different types of games. I've seen the trailer. I've read Chris's stuff on it. It's just not for me, I think. I don't know what you feel, Gary.
Well, I've not played the demo yet. Like, I keep meaning to go and download the demo, but as you know, you get so much on, you just sometimes you don't have the time, or you just forget. Just forget sometimes, which happens a lot. Especially as you start to reach older ages. That we're old, but you know.
We're whispering chickens.
Yeah, whispering chickens.
Yeah.
It's one that I like the idea of, but it's one that I'll probably pick up later if I'm going to pick it up at all. Because, I mean,
yes.
Part of it is I don't play on my Switch that often. And when I do, I mean, this kind of game might be good for it, but like I've got, I just picked up that Motorsport Manager, which is quite nice for if you're just sitting around, you've got spare 10 minutes, you can knock out a race and do, you know, you could go through that. So I don't tend to play enough on it that I'd get enough out of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll change when like Mario Maker comes out, because my God, I will rinse that game, but and get angry at it when you play some of the created levels that people do, because people love to just make you hate yourself. But yeah, I mean, that's one that I would make time for. Whereas Yoshi, I mean, this might upset a few people. I've never really been that into the Yoshi games anyway. Yeah.
Oh, everyone's cowering away. They've turned the podcast off, Gary.
As long as they've gone to read Chris's review of Division 2, that's fine. It's not. Don't switch off, please. Listen.
Well, they've already switched off, mate, they're not going to have heard you say that. So.
Yeah, that's true.
But for those of you who are still here, we've got a few more questions left. Tom, again, he's probably turned off by this point, writing his letter. We're really sorry. Is this the beardiest podcast in the land? Apart from Nicola, of course. I like the fact he had to add that at the end. It's brilliant. I would say it's relatively beardy. I'm sure there are other beardy podcasts around. We're the best one, OBS.
Obviously.
And I have to say, Adam Carroll's beard is magnificent. Like, I do appreciate that beard, Adam, and I miss you as well. You should come back on the pod soon. There are no questions from listeners left, but I just want to ask Gary a question. As it happened recently, the state of play concept from PlayStation. Are you on board with this?
Well, yes and no. It's like, I think they've possibly got the right idea. If they're not going to do stuff like E3, something like the Nintendo Direct route is the way to go.
Yeah.
But they need to find a better way of doing it. I think it was the first one, so you can kind of let them off a little bit. You know, you're bound to need to find your stride kind of thing. But I think the worst thing about it was not the games. I thought like most of the games had a lot of appeal, like here, there, and everywhere. There's a lot of variety, but it was just, they didn't spend any time on any of them. It was basically, here's like a 30 second or a minute trailer for this game that doesn't really tell you that much. Okay, we'll move on to the next game. And it was the same again.
Yes.
The only game they really spent any time on was Days Gone. But even then, again, it was maybe 2 minutes instead of one. And it just, if they're going to do it like the Nintendo Direct, do it like that. You know, have a proper trailer, maybe have a little bit of a natter with a developer or something like that, just to fill
it. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah. I think a chat with the dev would have been great for Days Gone, because like there's 2 minutes of footage out there. There's plenty of footage already. Yeah. This is going to be a 30-hour game. 2 minutes, it's not worth it. People know more or less now what to expect from this game. Show some other stuff. Like the VR stuff, I'm so pleased they're still sticking with it, because there are some great VR games out there.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of hoping that Iron Man VR isn't an experience.
Yeah.
Which I hate people saying that.
I still don't.
But they are. They're not games.
I don't get why. I mean, A, they've shown it too early because they don't have the footage.
Yeah.
And B, why not just wait and just show it when you've actually got gameplay footage? Because at the minute, no one really knows what it is.
Just wait a year or two and just ejaculate this Marvel Cinematic Universe video games with Square Enix and, you know, all these other ones, hopefully they're developing.
I'm just still trying to get over the ejaculate the Marvel Universe. But then again, I shouldn't be that. Like, I've read the Conan books and, like, those, like, he actually uses it as ejaculated, as in, like, shouted, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
And, like, that's the word. Like, obviously, it's old language rather than, like, you wouldn't say that now, because if you just say he ejaculated, you know, it's a bit.
But yeah, it's like.
The Iron Man thing, it's just like nobody really knew about it. This was like the first they did sort of announced it. Why didn't they just keep that quiet until they had actual gameplay to show? Because then it would, you could have mixed a bit of a CG trailer with some footage, you know, cut some of that into it. The way they did it just made, because I missed like the first 30 seconds or something. I just switched on the feed and was like, oh, wait, are they finally showing this Avengers thing? And then it's like, oh no, it's Iron Man VR. And it's a CG trailer.
Oh man, that's gonna hurt.
Yeah,
it was
a little bit knife to the heart, to be honest. But you know, I kind of know how Thanos feels with Stormbreaker buried in his chest. But you know, just without the payoff of being able to just blip away
fuck
and
them
be
all
whatever.
Off with a click of the fingers. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I'm definitely interested in the idea of the state of play. I just think they need to sort out the format, just extend the footage of each game, make it half an hour instead of 20 minutes, and you've got a little bit of extra time to spend. You don't have to do that with every game, obviously. You know, some of them, that's what the Nintendo Direct does. It's like, sometimes it is just a quick trailer, here's this game from this developer, or, you know, like a bunch of indie ones that they're showing, like a sizzle reel like they do with the idea Xbox stuff. That's fine, but I mean I suppose it kind of makes it worse when you come off the back of stuff like the Nintendo Direct, when they showed off Mario Maker and all that lot. They then did the big Pokemon one, and then you come off the Inside Xbox one, which, okay, yeah, it was a little longer than necessary, but, you know, they showed off like the announced Master Chief Collection on PC and stuff like that, Reach coming to it, that kind of thing. And it's like, do that, spend a little time with it. You know, no, it doesn't have to be an hour long thing. Just you know, spread it out a bit more, a little better.
Yeah,
I'll be happy if they do another one and just give us that. I think they might have nailed that. I think they're all going to do that now, because if you're going to have Inside Xbox doing it a lot, or is it? Yeah, it is Inside Xbox, isn't it? Outside Xbox was the old thing. Brain just abandoned me for a moment. it does that a lot.
we'll forgive you.
Thanks. But yeah, I think if they're all going to start doing it, it's a good way to do it. Follow Nintendo.
Yeah, I like it.
Follow Nintendo's example and you'll be fine.
I think Nintendo are absolutely, like, they've got that down to a T.
Yeah.
Like, they and when they do a direct, the announcements are big announcements. Like, they're very satisfying. You know, if they announce a direct, you know you're going to get something very, very decent from it.
Yeah. I mean, the Mario Maker is a prime example. No, like, we've been asking for just a port of the Wii U one for ages, and then it's like, oh no, it's the second one. Here you go. It's coming out in June. Like, you know, it's just
exactly
really
yeah.
out of nowhere, and everyone's happy. Done.
But yeah, I was just curious what you thought of it. Final question, which is the one we ask every week, from Pooh. You have to spend the next 24 hours in the world of the last video game you played. Will you survive and will you have a nice time?
No. No, I will not.
What was it? Generation Zero?
It was Battlefield 5, because I just wanted to try out the Firestorm.
Firestorm.
And I didn't survive. I didn't survive. And partly because of that, I didn't have a nice time. And that would pretty much happen if it was real.
Yeah, you'd be dead.
Yes.
Which we don't want.
No.
We don't want, but you know, death normally equates to not having a nice time.
Yeah, yeah. And just the way definitely. It goes.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I've started playing Danganronpa again, which I don't know if you know what that is.
I know some of it, but not loads.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal. And I would not have a nice time because that bear is evil. God, I love him so much, though. But like, I'd love them to announce that on the Switch. That like this, I hate the perfect for the Switch, but I play this kind of, like visual novels are much better on a handheld.
Yeah,
I struggle to play them on a big screen with a controller. I like taking them with me, and I'd love to just take Danganronpa away because I don't have my Vita anymore, so I don't have access to the first two anymore. I have the first two on the PS4, but I want them all three of them on there. So yeah. Anyway, tangent. Anyway, that's the podcast for this week. Thank you all for listening. You can go and check out all the content we've been talking about. So the Sekiro review is on godisgeek.com, and a video to accompany that review with the beautiful voice of Adam and the fantastic gameplay of Mr. Mick Fraser. Generation Zero, Gary's review is up online now. You can go and check that out and find out a bit more about it. But I mean, to me, it sounds amazing. You can follow us on Twitter as well. I'm at First Avenger 83. Gary's at Blue Fury 47. And God is a Geek is Obs at God is a Geek. Patreon time, plug time. Obviously, we've got some events coming up. One I'll be attending in April, and without you guys that wouldn't be possible. So our Patreon page is aimed at providing exclusive content for patrons who go there. We also put a lot of other stuff on there. There are sometimes giveaways with code, all that kind of thing. You can donate like $1 a month if that's all you can afford. Whatever you donate is appreciated. So yeah, do that, and if you love what we do, you know, help us out, and that's patreon.com/godisageek. Gary, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
No worries, and take care, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye bye.